And welcome everybody, Brother Goodwin here. Prophecy in the Spotlight. Doc is in the studio. We're gonna got a very sober thing for you tonight. Program on Jeremiah 49. Also, we'll be looking at Ezekiel 38 and 39. The Russia coming down upon Israel. That war that most of you know a lot about that. But we're gonna start in Jeremiah 49. In fact, let me go ahead and read some of this passage for you, beginning in verse 35. It actually starts in verse 34. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah, the prophet, against Elam. Now, who is Elam? Elam is modern-day Iran. I'm not saying it's all of Iran, but Elam was a place that's in that geographical area that we call Iran. Persia would be the Bible name for it in the olden days, the nation of Persia, and which was a much larger at that time, but Elam is part of that. So it's basically modern-day Iran, okay? Then we'll go to verse 35. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will break the bow of Elam, the chief of their might, and upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. And reading on down here in verse 37, I will send the sword after them till I have consumed them. Verse 38, I'll destroy from thence the king and the princes. I'm skipping around. I'm just reading parts here. It shall come to pass in the latter days, and I will bring again the captivity of Elam, saith the Lord. Just a summary there in verse 39 of what he just talked about. Elam is Persia, modern-day Iran, of course. I think there's a couple prophecies here that we may have just seen fulfilled right before our eyes. But we're going to bring you a show tonight. Today, I want to call it this. What everyone is missing about the Iran deal and the war there, what everybody is missing. This is going to be a help to you, you know. So get your notebook, get your pen, get your Bible. Tell your friends to turn the TV on or the YouTube channel. And we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Well, greetings, everybody, in these sobering days of war and rumors of wars, huh?
Yes.
And nothing new about it. There's always war somewhere.
Yep.
And people who say, you know, we're against war, well, you might as well be against living, then, if you're against war, because if you don't fight, you die in some instances. And and we have to fight for what we believe in and for
That's
our
true.
Friends and for our wives and
truth.
Our children and our grandchildren and because the enemy comes and he's going to take everything you have if you don't stand up and fight.
Yes.
And that's what one of the purposes of government is, to protect our freedom.
That's right.
And I realize government has gotten very corrupt, but we do what you do what you can. And but there's something everyone's missing. And let's start, Doc, right here in Jeremiah 49. And you've got a couple of materials that she'll put up every now and then for the folks to see.
Well, I've been teaching on this probably 10 years at least on nuclear Iran out of this very portion of Scripture.
Yeah.
And when it started unfolding 3 weeks ago, I told my wife, I said, that's what I've been talking about for 10 years.
Yeah.
And very similar to what I've expected is happening.
Now, I see two things in this passage. I'm sure there's more, but two main things in this passage that I think may have just been fulfilled. One is the breaking of the bow of Elam. And how I understand that is this. A bow is something that delivers a weapon to the enemy.
It's the launching mechanism.
And God uses these things because God didn't say an F-16 fired
well,
a missile.
Well, if he had have told Jeremiah, now write this down, there'll be F-35s and there are going to be two bombers that drop 5,000-pound bombs. It would have meant nothing.
Nobody would have understood.
But everybody in all of the era of time, including today, understand bow and arrow, slings and swords and spears.
Yeah,
we know it's weapons.
And so when it says that I will break the bow of Elam, talking about Iran, modern-day Iran, Persia, it means he's going to break their ability to have
that's
warfare.
That's how I've seen it, and because when I put that CD together probably 10 years ago, I told the folks then, I see it that Iran is in their pursuit for the nuclear weapon. They're wanting to fit them on their missiles because they want to destroy Israel, number one. And secondly, they want to create the chaos in the world that they believe is going to bring their Mahdi. We see that as the Antichrist. And so...
To them, he's kind of like the Messiah.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, the Jews are looking for their
same
guy.
Same way with the Jews.
Christians are looking for Jesus.
That's the Antichrist.
And they're looking for the...
Yes.
The...
So the terminology is what we would call ancient symbolism, but it's something that every era of time in the 2,700 years from Jeremiah to today, everybody understands the bow and arrow. And he said, I'm going to break their bow. That's the power of their might.
And that's what it says here. It talks about that. Their power
that's
is
right.
taken away. The second thing I see is down in verse 38. The king, and I'm going to
yes.
destroy from thence the king and the princes.
And the princes.
And that's the...
They took care of that in 39 seconds, I believe
yeah.
it was, after the yeah. this began.
And I think the princes, some of them are his sons.
Yes.
And I think even the second son, he may be dead,
but,
I don't know.
But not... Yeah, it's depending on who you read from, but the princes wouldn't necessarily in that concept of that day, yes, but the princes in our world today would be the actual echelon, the political structure, military structure itself. Yeah. And what are we seeing? How many of the military leaders and all of these leaders, all of that over this and over that, eliminating?
And so you can't be sure because, like you say so often, prophecy in the Bible is given in a straight line.
Yes.
In other words, this happens, then this happens, then this happens. But yeah. there's a whole bunch of things in between.
There's a lot of ins and outs and ups and downs and curves in the road. The Lord did not fill in all of the details. We said a while ago, chapter 37, you know, chapter 36, 7, and 8 in the book of Ezekiel. They're given in a straight line, but look at how many years is between those lines.
Yeah, 2,500 years.
You know,
for
and
some
so it's we need to always remind ourselves, and we talk about this often, not to get caught up just letting only current events try to interpret prophecy.
Yeah.
It could be, but they need to fall out of it, not forced into it.
And I think before the show, I mentioned that you really won't know for sure until a decade down the road, and then you look back, oh, I see it now. Yeah, that was fulfilled.
We always say, you know.
And this may be fulfilled.
Prophecy is always 2020 vision in hindsight.
And it could also be that there's going to be another guy rise up years down the road, and he'll be the guy that it's talking about.
And until this is settled at the moment, is the actual leadership, is the undergirding of Islam's radicalism and Shiite mode, is it going to be eradicated? I do not think so.
Yeah. So let's shift gears here. That's Jeremiah 49, which I don't know how many phone calls and emails I've gotten
oh,
from people.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Brother Goon, is this Jeremiah 49? And... well, you know what? I think there's a good chance that it is.
Well, there are other things in there before we pass it by. It talks about the four winds of the world.
Yeah.
And now you're seeing other nations, theoretically, after the fact, going to help in the Strait of Hormuz and all of this stuff. But when it talks about the four winds, I think it's more about the ability for the Iranians to be able to be scattered to the four winds.
Yeah.
And I know some people say, well, it says, and then you read it a while ago, in the latter days. Well, in the latter days not only applies to this event, but in the latter days applies to the regathering of those, I believe, for the time of the millennial reign after the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
I think is what that is talking about there.
Okay. All right, so... Now, here's my premise here, and I've taught this at a couple of churches now. What everyone is missing is zooming out and seeing all the big picture of what's going on, Now, let's go back a few years.
Because right now, all of our attention is right there at that one spot. We're not thinking about all the things out here that's
taking
place.
But what's been going on for several years now? The Russia-Ukraine war.
Yeah, for 4 years plus.
America involved in that. America started that war. I don't care what anybody says. Yeah. You won't hear that on Fox News. You won't hear that.
We forced it to happen.
I heard with my own ears. Yes. I heard Kamala Harris and Biden talk about Ukraine joining NATO. Yeah. They were pushing.
That's what I mean.
And Russia said, no way, Jose.
We didn't start it pulling the trigger, but we forced the position and forced the hand.
Right after that, when that started being talked about, Russia began moving its armies and to the other side.
And all they would have had to done at that time was say, okay, let's talk about this.
Yeah.
But no, they kept forcing the issue. Yeah.
And you couldn't talk to that administration anyway. There was no talk to them.
I don't think the administration was running any of it.
Yeah. The deep state behind the scenes.
It was the deep state.
And behind that is Satan himself.
Because the money is all in, blood money is all in armament.
Yeah.
And that's what it was all about, for the wealthy to get more wealth.
And so there are other things. Everyone knows about the Wuhan lab in China. Well, there are some of those same labs.
That's right.
Ukraine.
Oh, yes.
Right on the border of Russia.
And Russia, within just a few weeks, destroyed them. But you need to understand, Dan, you know why they knew they were there? They're the ones that built them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, and then after the Cold War, that was all taken over. And you know as well as I do that these were nothing but money laundering things for the elite of the world.
Oh, yeah. Half the people in our government had their hands in Ukraine.
Exactly.
And, I mean, we heard...
This is why they still are trying to push for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what's happening now is all the attention is removed. Nobody's thinking about it. And you hear these rebel rousers out there upset because all of our attention is now about Iran, and nobody's thinking about poor Zelensky up there. Well, I don't think poor Zelensky, he's a multimillionaire out of all of this.
Oh, they've gotten suitcases full of cash every time we give them
properties
money.
All over. It is in our world.
And so
today,
Russia is in that war. They've been in that quagmire for several years now.
A little over four years.
It's unbelievable. Four years.
Something that shouldn't.
Lost a lot of men, money, and they've achieved some gains, but what a disaster that's
been. I think they've achieved the gains that if you get the DVD that she showed a while ago, on that DVD of Russia and Gog Magog War that I put together. You cannot help but see the fulfillment of prophecy that was given in Ezekiel 38 and the property that already Russia has already regained. And once this thing is settled, I'm confident they will have that ancient property again.
And that's what I'm saying. What everyone is missing is the Ezekiel 38 war. Yep. Because I believe what's happening right now, and this... The recording of this show, what, March 20th today?
Something, yeah.
This is going to be April before this airs. That war may be over by then, the Iran thing.
I saw yesterday that Putin said that he has called a, not a truce, but a stalling. In other words, he's sending out some things of that. I'm ready to sit down and let's talk about this.
Yep.
In other words, I'm putting the ball in Zelensky's court. And, of course, President Trump has less confidence in Zelensky than he does in Putin.
Yeah.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
But Zelensky is getting all of that because the NATO nations are pumping him up for all of this.
Yeah. Well, look what's happened. Russia's gotten in this war because of the NATO carrot that was given to Ukraine. So Russia said, no way, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to march in there and take Ukraine. We're not having NATO. And they're right about that.
And what was stated the other day and is going to become a contentious point between Congress, President made the statement concerning NATO that he has the ability to pull us out of it.
Yeah.
Well, that sent ripple effects all over the world. But what I'm seeing, Dan, out of this that I think is one of the things, whether you've got it in your notes, one of the things I see that we're not thinking about is that what's happening right now is forcing the alignment of all of the nations that are already prophetically set
the 10 kingdoms
for the tribulation.
Yeah.
It's forcing the European nations to them out. They're going to come out of this with a unified army. I guarantee you they're going to come out of it. I'm convinced that's the king of the West. And you're seeing this is going to cause what we're going to talk about. Russia is going to be ready because to come down and reestablish itself.
Yeah. Well, all of NATO has been propping up Ukraine, sending them money and
yes.
missiles. And I believe we have people in there too, not with guns, but organizing
and strategists.
And
it's too much money to be made in armaments for these people.
And you had the Wuhan labs there against Russia. You know, right
well, they
the
were
border.
Like Wuhan labs or DSL-5 laboratories.
And you've got the pipe. Someone blew up the pipeline. We may have been involved. We may not have been. But the pipeline, that was a big blow to Russia.
I think
Israel's taking that over now.
Israel is pumping natural gas into through Cyprus, into Greece, into
Europe. So they've lost that. They've lost their good whatever name they had in the world. Thinks they're no good because of this. Bank accounts have been frozen. There's been fines put upon them.
Yes.
And so they're sitting there fighting this silly war with Ukraine, killing, losing their people, money, while. In Putin's eyes, he's looking at Donald Trump.
And Donald Trump's taking over the world.
He's taking over the world. Took Venezuela. He's going to Greenland's coming. Canada's parts of Canada's going.
This is what
I
just said earlier before we started recording. It looks like through Trump and with the fall of Canada, which is coming.
Yeah,
we're watching the Western Hemisphere become. Maybe not isolated in the sense we think of, but in essence, isolated,
unified,
separated from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And to me,
Cuba's going to be part of that.
Yeah. To me, I believed it for, I couldn't tell you how many years, I guess all my ministry, that any prophecy that is given to a geographic nature or a people in their geography, it will be fulfilled with that people in their geography. And I do not find anywhere in prophecy the Western Hemisphere. I just don't see us being involved in that.
Okay.
What I'm seeing is we're becoming an isolation over here, and that's leaving the major players to fulfill their positions for final day prophecy. It's coming.
Yeah, and so you got Russia sitting there. He's looking at the world. Now we've taken Iran.
Yes,
right, and possibly going to change the entire leadership there, though that's doubtful in a way here because they're going to be part of the.
I don't see how we can, Dan, because you're not changing it.
But if you're Russia, if you're Mr. Putin, looking out there and you're saying, man. We're the second most powerful country in the world, but we're sitting here stagnant. We got nothing.
We're insignificant.
They're
in
living
all of
up
this.
There with polar bears and ice caps.
That's why they said the other day, "Oh, we're sending a couple of tanker loads down to Cuba." Well, we'll see if that even gets through.
Yeah.
And honestly, if Trump stopped it, I don't think Russia would do a thing about it.
Yeah,
it's all symbolism at that moment. But there's a point in time where you poke the bear too many times. He's going to do what Ezekiel 38.
And that's what my point is. What everyone is missing, all of this, and Iran's the last straw. Iran is, they have an alliance. Russia and Iran have an alliance.
And the Bible talks about that in Ezekiel 38, and that's a 2,700-year. Did you know for 2,600 years, Russia and Iran never had one single agreement of any kind? Now they're locked together, just like the Bible says.
Yeah. And so for
that crowd that doesn't believe the Israel of today is of any importance, why would you believe that's of any importance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's Russia sitting there watching Donald Trump take over the entire world.
Yep.
And so he's been pushed up against the wall. He's been lied about. I'm not a Putin fan.
Oh, no.
I'm not for communism. No. But I also have ears and eyes, and I've paid attention, and I think they've been mistreated. I think
they're mischaracterized.
Yeah, and we have poked the bear one too many times. Yeah. Where's he got to go? Can't go north.
No. Nope.
He's already in the ice caps up there.
We know where he's going. The Bible's very clear.
And he's already made the statement a couple years back that the Golan Heights belongs to Syria.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very important statement.
That's exactly right.
That's him saying that I have a right to come down there because I'm part of Syria, and he does have troops there. And I believe he's let the world know that mountain don't belong to them Jews.
It's
that
obvious,
belongs to Syria.
The mountains of the north. But it's obvious that in the last several campaigns, not just with Zelensky and Ukraine, but other campaigns, what we've watched is Russia aligning themselves with many either Arab or at least Islamic nations.
Yeah.
And now with this alliance down here, I can just see this happening.
So any day now, and it may have happened before this show airs, I tell people this, keep your ear open to hear about Russia bringing more supplies, yes, troops into Syria.
And
right
who
on the
knows,
border.
Because all of our media attention is on this point, we have no idea. We're not getting any information about anything else that's maybe happening.
And they've cut us off from Russian news.
Oh, yes.
They won't let us hear that. You got to go to the black
web. I don't blame them.
Yeah.
You know?
So I think it's getting ready. I think Russia's got to get out of the Ukraine war. I think that's going to happen very soon.
I think
they've got to get out of that because it's a dead end for them.
Yes.
They've already done what they needed to do. Quit that war now. Keep the land that you took there. Yeah. And then I think he's going to start building up
for
the Ezekiel 38 war. Could be as early as this fall.
It could be very, very soon.
I mean, my possible rapture date for this year is looking better all the time.
Of course, your calendar might be off a year or two, but
it
anyway.
Could be.
But I understand. No, it is obvious, though, that these latter-day prophecies are rapidly coming into focus. And it all began with Israel and its return to its land. That's the key to it.
Yeah, that's where it started. But now look what's happened. For the first time since before 1948, Israel, once this Iran thing is over, is going to be at peace.
That's it.
They've killed everybody.
Once this
is
settled.
If you had pagers and cell phones, you're dead.
They've already basically separated Hezbollah from Iran. Because Iran doesn't have any money, they don't have any. They can't even pay their own troops. So their mass troops are just leaving the army in Iran.
Yeah.
So you're right.
Israel's going to be able to go to bed at night and without the sirens
we got this
going
thing,
off, they won't have to go to their cellars and basements and bomb shelters.
Until all of a sudden, one of these days, they realize that. Wait a minute.
And they're going to say peace and safety.
Yeah.
Then sudden destruction. What's the sudden destruction? The bear from the north has come to the mountains
He's
of
coming.
The north, the Golan Heights, to take a spoil, like it says
That's
here
right.
in Ezekiel 38, verse 12. To take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods to dwell in the midst thereof.
Yeah.
And he's coming to and the Bible talks about the unwalled villages.
Yeah.
So that's baffled us for years, hasn't it? Because that hasn't fit.
It hasn't baffled me because I realize this is an end time prophecy. You name me a city in the world in 2026. You name me a city in the world that's living behind a wall.
Well, just the Vatican. But
other
than that,
but I'm just saying. That's what it's talking about
and
in
it's
the end
symbolically.
Times.
In other it's words, they're not expecting an enemy to come. There's not night watchmen up on a wall looking for the and they're at peace.
They're at peace.
And this is the first time in my lifetime this has ever happened.
And that's what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about, you know, when they say peace and say, then sudden destruction come on. Then
now it talks about God being involved here and he puts hooks in the jaw.
Multiple
hooks in the jaw
of
Russia.
I think one of those is its alliance with the Persian or the Iranians. I think another one has to do with Syria and the travel routes there and its connection to the Mediterranean. They need that militarily.
And I think another hook is the fact that America's taking over the world. We're going to we're going to take something over here.
We've got to have a stake in this thing again.
And
because when you read in Daniel chapter 11 in particular, you realize that after the Antichrist begins his rule, there's still going to be some of these battles between the kings of the north and the south and all of these. So they're still vying for that power. So you're right. But I think one of the biggest hooks, and I have it in the DVD, and I show you a lot of this in the PowerPoints there, and that is, I think, the biggest hook is for Russia to be able to claim the spoil you read about of the natural gas and oil so that they can once again, like they've had for 60-plus years, dominance over all of Europe in the provision of energy.
Yeah.
They want to be in control. If you control the energy, then you can control a whole lot about what's going on.
Now, real quickly, in the last 3 minutes, the timing of this, there's a clue in Ezekiel 39 that talks about when this war is going to end quickly, and Russia's going to lose
badly. It's going to end up real quick.
I think only 1/6 of the soldiers survive. So 5/6 of them dead.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that's just Russia. There's about five nations involved. Turkey,
well, not only five
Iran.
Nations. Yes, five major nations, but then it says peoples with them. I think that includes a lot of this Islamic
The 1/6
Islamic
of them
groups.
Is probably 1/6 of the whole crowd that's there is going to die.
That's right.
And the Bible says that they're going to burn. Well, two things it says. They're going to be burying the bodies for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
But then it also says they're going to be burning the weapons that were used in that war for 7 years.
I know. And
we don't believe that can happen during the kingdom age.
Well, I know it's not going to happen during the kingdom age.
So that means that that's a clue.
The seventh vial of wrath is going to end it all, and it's going to reshape planet Earth. So there will be none of this during the
kingdom.
But
we know that is going to happen, or else prophecy would be wrong here. He said they're going to burn them weapons for 7 years.
Well,
so that sounds to me like the rapture happens.
Yes. Well, here's the thing.
After this,
Ezekiel chapter 36, God says, "This is my plan. I'm going to bring you back, not because you're worthy, but for my name's sake." And he names that three times there. Then in chapter 37, now he says, "This is how I'm going to do it. This is the page one, the bones, and here's the flesh on it. Here's the spirit in it, and all this." And so you got the plan, chapter 37, then you have the program, and chapter 38, you have the battle. What's it all about? They have a remnant for the millennial reign.
Joe, Doc, we need to do a show on that, what you just said. Jeremiah 36, 37, 38, 39,
all one piece. It all goes together. You can't cut one out from the other.
But it seems to me that God's given us a clue here. The burning of these weapons, and I don't know
it
what that
like
means.
It.
I don't know why you got to burn weapons for 7 years. I think it's some kind of biological, some
it
new kind of thing, chemical, that takes 7 years to get the...
Because fire is the greatest purifier of those impurities.
So whatever weapon is used to kill them off up there is going to be very dangerous.
Well, according to the Bible, it's going to be a major earthquake that God's going to create that's going to destroy those armies. Because it not only says that the sulfur or the brimstone is going to fall on them, but if you read in chapter 39, it tells you that same judgment is going to fall on those people from where they came from. I'm
All
convinced
right.
it'll be a reduction of the radical Islamic.
Okay. Well, we're out of time, folks. So what we're saying is it looks like this war could be at the rapture or just before the rapture. And I personally think the war is won by the man who's going to be the Antichrist on the same day the trumpet sounds. And that's where it all begins. But we'll do another show on this, maybe next week, maybe the week after, on some of this and give you a little more. Okay, until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.